Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. The Doors there with Break On Through. That was the first song that they ever released from their first album. That's the first song that most people ever heard from Jim Morrison and the Doors. And then not long after that song came out, that's when Light My Fire came out, and that's when they blew up. You know, I've always been a big Doors fan. And did you know, in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, California, right in the middle of Hollywood, there's a building, and it still stands. I know it was a restaurant for years. I don't know exactly what it is now. But there's a building that stands in Hollywood that was the Doors' offices. And it was the actual building where they recorded their last CD when Jim Morrison was still alive, L.A. Woman. And the building's only a couple of stories tall. And I remember when I was there, you walked up the stairs into the bathroom. I mean, it's just a regular bathroom for a restaurant. But in that bathroom is where they put Jim Morrison's microphone. And in that bathroom, not very big, is where he sang the vocals for every song on the last Doors album, L.A. Woman. And, you know, if one of my friends out there showed it to me, and there's a plaque that said, you know, from 1970 to 1972 or whatever. It was at the end of the Doors' career. It said, this building right here were the offices of the rock band The Doors, and this is where they recorded the album L.A. Woman, and it told the whole story. And like I said, the building to this day, 50 years later, is still exactly the same. And then pretty much right across the street, there's an old motel. And that's a motel where Jim Morrison used to go crash out a lot. And he always evidently used to stay in the same room. You walk up the stairs, it's on the second floor. And to this day, you can call that hotel or motel. I mean, it's kind of run down. Go there and you could ask for the Jim Morrison room. And they'll give you that room, and you walk in, and now it's a tribute to Jim Morrison. There's paintings and pictures and all kinds of wild stuff. But like I said, it's kind of a cheap rundown motel. I think these days that motel, it could be rented more by the hour than by the night. But that, there's still a bunch of Doors history right around there, right in the middle of Hollywood.
I was about to ask about the rates for the Jim Morrison room. I'm quite sure they doubled the rates. It's still like $20 a night or something per hour.
I don't know if that room, that particular room, Coleman, is more expensive than the rest of the rooms in that dump. I don't know if that particular room, but that's the one room where he used to regularly go And whether he would just pass out or get drunk there or trip on acid there sometimes or whatever.
And speaking of dumps, you know, so since his recording booth was in the restroom, you think it's very convenient whenever he had to go, he would just, since he's already in the booth singing, he could just whip it out and do his business. This is right next to the toilet.
Yeah, I don't know if he straddled the toilet. I don't know maybe if the toilet was removed while they made that a little vocal studio. But in that, like I said, I don't know what it is now, but it used to be a Mexican restaurant. It's been a few different things. But there's a plaque outside, and you can walk right up there, and who knows? You could sit down, and you can maybe drop a deuce where Jim Morrison or the other doors dropped a deuce. I think history like that's pretty cool.
It is fascinating.
And where things happen. And all of these years later, people still go by and they take pictures and they, it shows you what an impact that band had on a bunch of people, if that's still the case.
So even when the building has new ownership, they still keep that bathroom in check, or that rundown motel with the change, you know, management, they'll still keep the Jim Morrison.
Those two buildings are still exactly the same as they were over 50 years ago.
That is cool.
You know, because we know here in New Orleans, obviously, we're such an old city. Our city is older than the United States of America. Our city is older than our country. But there has been some pretty historic things that have been torn down. I always bring up Louis Armstrong's house, the house where, well, I guess it was his mother's place, but it was the little row house where he grew up. They knocked all of that down. That's right on Perdido Street, right near where today's current City Hall stands, the Idiot Box stands, where Louis Armstrong. It was a row of very small, like two room houses, and. Right on that street, basically right across the way from where City Hall is, the Idiot Box today.
Well, do you agree with the Vukarate sort of mentality? Like when it comes to historic buildings and historic agriculture, we have to keep the essence of New Orleans vibrant, even though we're in 2020 now. And you know how they're always against making certain modifications because they don't want to lose the spirit and the essence of what New Orleans really is. Or do you think even if we did, you know, upgrade a few things, it's the people that makes the essence of New Orleans, you know, what it is?
Well, the Vukarate is an organization that is basically in charge of the French Quarter. They keep an eye on it. And anybody that lives there, anybody that works there, if they want to do any type of work on their building, inside, especially outside, they have to get permission from the Vukarate because they want to, like you just mentioned, they want to keep the French Quarter looking like it has looked since way back when. And so, I mean, if you even want to change where you put your mailbox, if you have an apartment there, a lot of times they won't let you do that. If you want to paint the outside of your apartment or your business a different color or do something, a lot of times they won't let you do that. Because they want the French Quarter, the Vukarate, to look just like it did 300 years ago.
And it's a good notion, but I do believe that it kind of impedes progress, especially if like a modern business wants to set up shop somewhere near the Vukarate, but they might deny it, saying no, it's going to change the. So there's pros and cons when it comes to whether, you know, tearing down historic buildings or architecture and stuff like that. But there is like that. For me, I want to get to like the Jetsons era where we have flying cars and houses that rise up to the space and all that. But with organizations like the Vukarate, we'll never get there. You know?
Yeah, but I like whether it's the Vukarate here in New Orleans, Coleman, or whether, you know, it's other groups or other people in other cities that want to keep an eye out for historic places.
Right,
and they want to they kind of want to keep it because there's a lot of things in this city here in New Orleans. And there's a lot of places that have been knocked down, lost forever because of advancement. Because of, I mean, I couldn't imagine what Louis Armstrong, like I said, the house he grew up in, he was so poor. It was like basically a two room row house, and they were a bunch of them for. They were all connected to each other for really, really poor people. I mean, if you've ever seen interviews with Louis Armstrong, he has said, or he did say later in his life, when they asked him about growing up in New Orleans, he said, I grew up in the backside of town. He said, I grew up in the back of town. That's what he used to call it. And that was before City Hall, the idiot box was there. But I don't think there was a way they could have, that neighborhood could have been built the way it looks today if right. if they kept Louis Armstrong's historic row house, kind of a dump of a place, honestly. And they would have all the buildings that were built many, many years later around it, but that one particular row house, or maybe the one that it's connected to as well, still standing there as a historical monument. I don't know if they would be able to do that. Maybe they'd be able to do that, but I don't know what it would be like.
Well, it's a good trade-off. He has an airport now, so I think
yeah.
So I think he's okay.
Yeah, something with that. All right, Tom. Hey, it's very cold out this morning. When you get up to go to work, it's not quite 40 degrees yet. It's 38 degrees. A little bit chilly.
Yes.
But I have no problem with the occasional cold front coming through.
I have on 5 layers of clothes right now, John.
The only difference is around the radio station here in New Orleans, in the CBD in New Orleans. I wasn't this morning. It was a little bit too cold for some of the people I usually see sleeping, or some of the people I usually trip over while they're sleeping on the streets around the radio station here. So a lot of them went inside into the homeless shelters last night. But it's a cool one, so make sure when you leave the house that you're prepared for it. It's like I said, it's 38 degrees right now. Not used to that here in New Orleans. All right, coming up on the show, there's an Amazon driver who is a hero. There's a restaurant owner who's taken a bunch of crap for kicking somebody out, and we're going to tell you why he kicked them out. And there's a TikTok user that had to explain a video because he wanted to make a video that went viral. It started going viral, but then he had to step in and say, well, wait a minute, here's what really happened. Stay tuned for those reports and more this morning on the show coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So there's a video, a 52-second video, that has gone viral from two nights ago, Sunday night, from inside of a restaurant in Dallas, Texas. The restaurant is called True Kitchen and Cocktails. And cocktails is spelled K-O-C-K-T-A-I-L-S. And this happened about 7:45 on Sunday night, two nights ago, at the downtown Dallas restaurant. The owner, his name is Kevin Kelly. He's a black guy. he decided to address everybody who was sitting in the restaurant. And he did so because there were some women inside the restaurant twerking. You know what that dance is, right? That's basically women shaking their backside. And they were doing so inside of the restaurant. And the owner was not happy about it. And that's why he decided to talk to all the customers at once. He said, quote, "I invested a lot of money into buying this building and developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go." He said, standing in the middle of his restaurant, surrounded by his customers. He then tells the DJ he has to stop the music. He continued talking to the entire restaurant. "But all this twerking and bleep, take it to Prime. Take it to Pink." Those are two dance clubs in Dallas. "Because we're a restaurant." And then he said he shared a message for anyone else who wanted to twerk in his restaurant. Quote, "Get the bleep out of my restaurant. And for anyone who doesn't like this message, get out, because I don't need your money." Unquote. Someone video recorded the owner of the restaurant saying that, put it on their Twitter account, and that video has gotten millions of views. It had millions of views in less than 24 hours. And someone had written, I guess the person who posted that video on Twitter, Coleman, wrote, quote, "Restaurant suicide on camera," unquote.
I wouldn't go that far to say restaurant suicide.
A bunch of people who saw it on Twitter agreed with that, but not everybody. There were some people who said, wait a minute. Here's a black guy. He owns a restaurant. He's got a DJ playing. People are eating dinner. It's 7:45 on a Sunday night. If you were in there, would you want to see these women twerking?
See, the thing is, if he hired a DJ, what did he expect to happen? Like, usually when you have a DJ there, you have a DJ so he can spin some tunes that gets the crowd or the restaurant motivated. If he wanted a lounge area, he should have hired like a piano player, like a lounge piano player, but he hired a complete DJ. You can't have a DJ and not have dancing at the same time. So if he didn't want people to twerk, you don't hire a DJ that would probably play twerking music, right?
But it's a restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's a good-sized bar right at one point inside that restaurant. So I guess you could say it's a restaurant slash bar.
Okay.
But it's still dinner time. It's 7:45. Maybe after, if you know, in a lot of places like this, the kitchen will close, but later on, but the bar will stay open. Maybe at that point,
maybe
the women can start twerking.
Well, don't hire a DJ until that point. If you want to keep it like a restaurant and keep it fancy, don't bring the DJ in until after you want it to turn into the bar spot or whatever.
Well, there was another guy there who owns a burger place not far from there, and he happened to be in there, and he expressed support for this restaurant's owner on his Facebook page, and a lot of people agreed with that. He expressed support for Kevin Kelly, who owns this restaurant in Dallas called True Kitchen Plus Cocktails. Again, the cocktails spelled with a K. And he, again, this owner happens to be black. the women who were twerking were black, and there were a bunch of black people who got upset. He's throwing his customers out for twerking, and much like you said, the guy's got a DJ there. How do you expect some women not to be able to control themselves and not to stand up and stick their ass out and start shaking it right where people are eating their dinner?
Now, I support him as a business owner. I understand, like, when you start a business and you have a dream and you have a vision, you want it to play out a certain way. And I get that he doesn't want that type of atmosphere at his particular business. And he has the complete right to do that. If he doesn't want twerking at his restaurant as a business owner and me being libertarian, I can support him. If he wants people to get out because he don't need the money, I get that. I'm just conflicted about his obliviousness to hire a DJ there. Like, what type of music did he think that the DJ was going to spin? You know, I can get a lounge singer. I can get maybe a piano player, or maybe have a light jukebox, because we've been in restaurants where there's a lounge. But I've never been inside of a restaurant where people intend to eat, but they have a whole DJ with the turntables on there, you know?
So after this made all kinds of news on Sunday night, yesterday a bunch of media contacted him during the day, and they said, is there anything you want to say? Because there's a lot of people talking about your restaurant. Some people aren't happy about you being a black guy who owns this place kicking out some women who were twerking in your restaurant.
Because he gave out mixed signals. He even said in the when he was addressing all the customers, he said, look, I was trying to develop a nice place, a place where black people come enjoy themselves. Well, this is what you get when you have a DJ. You know what I mean? And well, it is a nice place. And if you want to feel safe, most black people want to go to a spot where they can twerk and, you know, be rhythmic and be gyrative, because that's part of our nature. I get that. So I think he was sending mixed signals. I had this restaurant where black people could come in. All right. So the black people came, they had a DJ, and they were just following their instincts. And all of a sudden, now you're saying we can't do it? Like, I get where the mixed signals come from.
Yesterday, when a bunch of the national media got to him, he said he offered an apology to those who were offended by his, quote, poor choice of wording. He describes the guests at three tables standing on furniture, leaning on glass, and twerking. In the statement, he stands by his decision as an indictment of the very few who don't respect our restaurant. And some people are saying the song that the DJ played was such a twerking anthem,
yes,
that the black women couldn't stop themselves from stopping eating their dinner, standing up on their dinner tables in the restaurant, and twerking and starting to shake their backsides. You know what this reminds me of?
Wait.
This reminded me of the old Dave Chappelle bit on the Chappelle Show when he was with John Mayer, the guitar player.
Right.
And he would have John Mayer go into, like, the black barbershop and play his electric guitar. And he was proving a point that, you know, a lot of black people, they don't like the electric guitar. And the barbers were saying, stop playing that noise. But then when he had someone walk in with a dance beat,
yeah, Questlove. Yeah.
Questlove from the Roots came in and started playing a dance beat on his drums. Those same haircutters, barbers and stuff, they started dancing while they were cutting hair.
Well, here's the thing.
And he was just trying to make a point that, wait, you don't like John Mayer's guitar playing, but you like Questlove's drum playing.
So when it comes to the twerkers at this guy's restaurant, it wasn't that they couldn't control themselves. The restaurant owner just gave them the impression that it was safe to do. Because think about what he said. He said, I have a spot where black people could come, a nice place, and we're going to have a DJ. Well, the elements are there. They felt safe. They felt like they were compelled to twerk, and it wasn't going to be judged for it, because that's what we do. So it's like he gave the patrons mixed signals. So I can see where he was trying to do the right thing, and I agree with his decision that he doesn't want to put that kind of atmosphere out there. But at the same time, it's weird how he was oblivious to what he thought was going to happen by having a DJ and inviting that kind of atmosphere in. Like, to me, it was obvious. All the recipes there, of course, they're going to twerk. And I wouldn't mind if I was there. I would love to twerk too. I mean, you have a DJ, dude, at your restaurant.
Yeah, that's something. And I know that. You know, there's a lot of people. Look, we're all human beings, but there are things that I guess some black people do that white people don't. And maybe twerking at this restaurant, like standing up on the dinner table, on the chairs at the dinner table, and starting twerking. I don't know. Well, this guy, again, he happens to be a black guy that owns the place, and he wasn't happy with what he saw. After that video went viral, he took a lot of crap, although a bunch of people are standing up for him. I mean, if you're listening right now, Texas, obviously he's the owner of the restaurant. He could say or do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. But do you think what he did was business suicide, like some people, like the person who originally posted the video on Twitter said? Is that what people want to see when they're at 7:45? It's dinner hour at a restaurant / bar. If you're out there eating at a nice restaurant, do you want to see women stand up on their dinner tables and just start and start twerking, just shaking their backsides around?
This text says, it's part of the black culture to jump around and act like sex-starved animals. Tell me you don't believe that, Coleman. No, that's not what I said. I said twerking and being gyrative and rhythmic is a part of our culture. If you have a nice dance, be in a nice groove, we are going to dance. I don't agree with the standing on the tables and all that, but at the same time, if you're at a club, that's what they do. Now, that's not acting like sex-starved animals. You know, twerking is just a dance movement. Now, the venue was incorrect. I get that. But, yeah, it is a part of our culture to dance. It's not a part of our culture to act like sex-starved animals.
Well, look, so somebody's giving it to Coleman. Text us. Look, in my opinion, the owner has every right in the world to do what he wants. It's his restaurant. I don't know if that's business career suicide or not, but it did make a lot of news. And this morning I'm talking about what happened in the True Kitchen and Cocktails restaurant and bar in Dallas, Texas, as the owner this morning is standing by his viral statement against twerking in his Dallas restaurant. If you're listening now, I mean, do you think that, is that something you want to see at dinner time? You want to see women twerking, or do you think that should be a little bit later, at least after you've had dessert? Text us. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up on the show, 260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Last night I saw a commercial for a product called Nurtec ODT. It's a drug for migraine headaches. I guess if you suffer from migraines, that's supposed to work if you take that and make you feel better. The person doing the commercial was Khloe Kardashian. She's the adopted Kardashian. You know, there's the other two that are small. They have large asses. This one is immense and has a large ass, Khloe Kardashian. And it's ironic that she's the one doing the commercials for the drug to take for migraine headaches, because Khloe Kardashian is a leading cause of migraine headaches. So I think they got the right person to do the commercials there. Hey, coming up next on the show, your texts on the owner of that restaurant in Dallas, Texas, who told the women to get the bleep out of his restaurant because they started twerking during the dinner hour on Sunday night. It's making a lot of news. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Out of all the songs Sting wrote, whether it was when he was the leader of the police right there, or whether it was after he left the police and went solo, I think out of all the songs he wrote, I think that one right there, Every Breath You Take, has made him more money than any of the other songs he's written. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. Because I remember we did a segment on the show where we were talking about a handful of different artists who have written one song, and that one song has made them so much money that they never had to write another song again. Like with the band Survivor, that song, Eye of the Tiger. And I think Sting was on that list, and the song was Every Breath You Take.
The Stalker song.
Yeah, and, you know, looking back at it now, I don't know if that song could be a hit today, because that's basically a stalker's anthem. I'm following you everywhere you go, anywhere you. I'm watching what you do. I'm watching how you do it. Where are you going? I'm following you. I'm going there. I don't know if that song could be a hit today, but in the mid 1980s when that came out, it was. So, good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about something that happened two nights ago on Sunday night. A video went viral from a restaurant in Dallas, Texas called True Kitchen and Cocktails. The reason why the video went viral is only a 52-second video. But it's a video of the owner of the restaurant talking to everybody in his restaurant. Kevin Kelly is his name. He's the owner of True Kitchen and Cocktails. And he wasn't happy about 7:45 on Sunday night, dinner time, when women stood up on their dinner tables and started twerking when the DJ he had hired played a specific song. He wasn't happy with the women twerking, shaking their booties all over the place. And so he stopped the song. He got in the middle of his restaurant. And he spoke for 52 seconds. One of the diners pushed record on her cell phone. And she was not happy. Her facial expression was not happy with what the owner was saying. Now, the owner, his name's Kevin Kelly. He happens to be a black guy. Most of the people eating in this place are black. They didn't get any of the twerking on the video. If they did, I would have put it on our website at bayou957.com. But the 52-second video that went viral is just him telling his customers in a loud voice, quote, I invested a lot of money into buying this building and developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go. He then tells the DJ to stop the music. And then he continued, but all this twerking and bleep, take it to Prime, take it to Pink. Those are two clubs in Dallas. Because we're a restaurant. And then he said, he shared a message for anyone who wanted to twerk in his establishment, quote, get the bleep out of my restaurant. And for anyone who doesn't like this message, get out because I don't need your money. And so the black woman who video recorded it, the look on her face looked like she was not happy with the owner of that restaurant saying that. That clip then went to Twitter and it was titled Business Career Suicide. Because evidently, if you're in a nice restaurant in Dallas and you get up on the table and start twerking and the owner of the restaurant says, don't do that. For some people, that's career suicide. Now, look, the owner of the restaurant can do whatever he wants to do. It's his restaurant. Do I think he committed career suicide? I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people at 7:45 on a Sunday night who are eating dinner. And this looks like a really nice place. It looks like a restaurant and a bar. It looks like there's a big bar inside the restaurant. And during dinner hour, he doesn't want this guy standing on the dinner tables, on the dinner chairs. This guy doesn't want women dancing and twerking, bending over and shaking their backsides. And sure, he took some heat when the video went viral, but there's a lot of people who also got behind him saying, look, this is a nice restaurant. Do you want to see that? And then Coleman, who happens to be black, said, well, look, he had a DJ playing there. And when a DJ plays certain songs, you know, some people just get up and just, but their instincts are to dance. And so I asked you to text us and let us know what you thought about this story we just told you.
This first text says, wrong time and place for the music, but he is not wrong for what he said. This text, the next two texts, I gave me some thought. This one says, it's fine as long as it's not on the table and chairs. And the one right behind that says, it's okay to dance on the floor. I'm guessing the owner was upset about the dancing on the tables and the chairs. And I thought about that. Maybe he was more upset about the furniture aspect of it as far as just the twerking part. Maybe he was okay with the twerking, but since they were twerking on the chairs and tables.
It doesn't say that. And if he was upset with them standing on the dinner tables mm-hmm. and on the dinner chairs during dinner hour when he had a nice crowd in there, he could be upset that A, what are you doing? This is dinner time. B, you better be careful. You could fall off of that table and, you know, what my insurance now is going to have to pay you. There could have been a few reasons why he was upset. Yeah. He didn't want women twerking during dinner hour in his restaurant. And he said it when he addressed the whole crowd at the restaurant when he said, go to one of those two other places that are clubs in Dallas, not here.
This text says, it's a respect thing. Have some respect for others and the owner, but the DJ is confusing, though. Like, having a DJ is kind of like you sending mixed signals. You have a DJ playing this type of music at dinner time, but you don't expect them to act like there's a DJ in the restaurant during dinner time. That's the part where he confused me. It's like, why do I have a DJ playing these type of songs if you don't want people dancing to these type of songs?
Perhaps when dinner is over and they close the kitchen and just the bar's open, maybe the DJ is more popular then and mm-hmm. people dance to him then. But the DJ happened to be playing during dinner hour as well.
All right, last one. I agree, except for in his statement, I wish he would have said people instead of black people. Imagine if he was white and he said, I want to have a nice place where white people could enjoy themselves.
He couldn't say that.
Exactly. But the thing is, I agree with this too. I don't like the idea that we also have to bring race into it. Like, I have this spot where black people can enjoy themselves. And I get that he means well, but it's that thinking like that we have to separate people by their color and people by their racial ethnicity just to enjoy a spot, that still bothers me to this day. It's 2020. We shouldn't have to even talk language like that. Like, I have a spot just for black people to come enjoy themselves. Well, black people enjoy themselves anywhere.
Well,
it's 2020.
Looks like,
you know?
It looks like it's a really nice place called True Kitchen and Cocktails. Cocktails spelled with a K. The owner is a black guy named Kevin Kelly. Most of the people in there were black eating. And he saw a couple of black women, I don't know exactly how many, get up on the dinner table and start twerking. And he said, not here. This is not the time or the place. This is a nice place for dinner. And then that's when he threw in the line. You know, I open up a nice place for black people to come and don't do that. So I thought it was interesting. And hey, as long as they got good food there, and the place is nice, I think he'll
be fine.
He'll do all right. But there were a bunch of people who were upset about that. Him getting mad at some female customers standing on the dinner table and chairs twerking. But then there were a bunch of others who didn't. It was an interesting story. That's why I thought I'd bring it up. I mean, how much twerking do you do or do you have with your dinner here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And many times, if you pay attention to the news, you'll see everyday people, average, ordinary people like you and like me, who make headlines for being a hero. And that just happened in the state of Florida.
Florida?
Yeah, Coleman. A guy who works for Amazon, he drives and he delivers packages for Amazon, Amazon Prime. He was doing his job this past Friday afternoon in the town of New Smyrna Beach, Florida. He was making his rounds, delivering packages. And all of a sudden, he heard women screaming. He dropped his packages and ran down the street where he saw smoke coming out of his house. There was a house on fire. And that's why women were screaming. The Amazon driver, 23-year-old Sean Campbell, said, quote, "I heard the screaming, and when you hear something like that, you have to go to it. A fire started in the garage of an elderly couple's home, and it was quickly blowing up. A woman had gotten out of the home with help from a neighbor. But the problem was, a man was still inside, an elderly man was still inside. So the Amazon Prime driver, he goes up to the front door. There's smoke coming out of the house. The house is on fire. He ripped open the door. The elderly man in the house was standing in the kitchen with his walker, and he was just standing there. And according to Sean Campbell, the Amazon delivery driver, he said, quote, "I don't think he truly knew what was going on. So I was like, sir, come on. I need to help you. Come on, let's get out." Despite the house being on fire, the elderly man in the kitchen on the walker, he could not move quickly. According to the delivery driver, Sean Campbell, he said, quote, "The man was trying to grab his walker. I was like, no, we've got to move. You got to see another day." And so the Amazon driver grabbed the elderly man by the arm and walked him out of the front door as smoke was barreling out of that same front door, and it was coming out with them. But he saved the elderly man's life. The Amazon delivery driver saved a man's life.
How long did it take for the fire department to get there?
The firefighters got there shortly after, right after he came walking out.
Okay.
And the firefighters went in, and they were able to save the family dog.
Great job.
The firefighters went in, they got the dog, and then came out. And then the house just burnt like crazy.
I mean, yeah, he's a hero now, but one of the first things he did wrong was you never open a door during the fire because the oxygen from the outside could make the fire go more ablaze. I get this guy is not a professional fireman, but there's a reason why a fireman, a police officer, and first responders say, look, don't put yourself at risk. Let us come in. And it's a shame that the Amazon driver got there before the fire department, but he did a great job. I'm not taking that from him, but, you know, situations like opening the door in the middle of a fire, stuff like that, he could have put himself in even more danger, even going in to get the man without any protective gear, you know. So it's a good story, but at the same time, it's also an example of why we should let first responders do their job.
Come on, Coleman. The guy did the right thing.
He did the right thing. I'm not saying he did it and ran wrong, but he could have put himself in danger.
He did. He risked his own life.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies came from one of my favorite books, The Outsiders.
All right.
The Outsiders was a great book, and it was a great movie, too. And The Outsiders, there's that scene at the end. By the way, The Outsiders launched the careers of Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon, Emilio Estevez, Ralph Macchio, who went on to become the Karate Kid after mm-hmm. that. There was a bunch of young actors in that movie, The Outsiders. That was their first big movie. And there's a scene where they're driving back into town and they see a building on fire. Might have been a church, a building on fire. And they ran into the building, Ralph Macchio and Matt Dillon and C. Thomas Howell. Those actors ran into the building and they saved a bunch of kids. But, like, I don't want to give it away, but one of the characters, it didn't work out well for him.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought of when I saw this story. I mean, I can't tell you how many times during the last 8 months of this coronavirus pandemic that I've been standing outside my place where I live here in New Orleans. And sometimes it was really, really hot. And I just see delivery driver after delivery driver after delivery driver just pulling up to the, just getting out, lifting stuff, bringing it into the house. A lot of people called those people heroes during the coronavirus, and they were just doing their job.
Right.
They weren't going into burning buildings and pulling out elderly men who were having a tough time finding their walker to get out of the house.
Yeah, I remember, you know, during the lockdown phase one, phase two at my night job, they were treating me like a hero. I was just doing what I normally do every day, just delivering food to people. But, you know, 20 years ago, yeah, I probably would have ran into a burning building. But at my age now, I know a little better. And even though it's heroic to do things like that, I understand that the risk may not be worth it depending on the situation at the time, you know.
We talk about a lot of stories on this show. We do a lot of different stories. And there's a lot of times where I always like to try to put myself in the shoes of the people that we're talking about. And I would love to be able to sit here this morning and say, oh, I would have done the same thing as that 23-year-old Amazon delivery driver, Sean Campbell.
Yeah, if I was 23, I probably would have, but I'm not 23 anymore, and I know a little bit better. But
well, it's hard. It's easier to read a story and then think in your mind what you would do in that particular story. I mean, I wish I could sit here and say I would do the exact same thing. It would be nice to think that I would do that, but I've never pulled up in front of a house on fire before in a delivery van and heard women screaming and then ran to the front door, opened it up, and went inside. That, I mean, that's never happened to me. I would like to think I would help, but it just shows us. And this story shows you and shows me that it doesn't matter what we do in our daily lives for a job or just hanging around. The opportunity to be a hero could, at some point, present itself to you, to me. And it'd be nice to be a hero like 23-year-old Sean Campbell, the Amazon delivery driver who lives in Florida. And it's nice to tell a story out of the state of Florida.
Yes, it is.
That has a happy ending. That's a nice story that doesn't have some crazy Florida man or some crazy Florida woman mm-hmm. in some crazy Florida story.
You know, before this break, somebody texted and said this. Chat about something to warm our hearts and raise our spirits. And it just so happens, there you go. So there you go, LS. There's your heartwarming story.
That's a really happy feel-good story. And I'm glad to see things worked out in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Coming up on the show, have you seen the story of that monolith out in the state of Utah? Have you seen that over the last few days? In the middle of nowhere, I mean, this is in the middle of nowhere, a tall structure just appeared. And then pictures were taken of it, video was taken of it, and then a lot of people drove out there to see it, and when they got there yesterday, that tall structure was gone. I've got the latest on that. That was right out of a movie. And there's a similar story of something like that in the country of Germany. as German police now are probing the mystery of a missing giant phallus statue. Basically, a giant penis statue is missing in Germany. Stay tuned for those two similar crazy stories coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about how Rat right there, ever since that song from that band has been in those Geico commercials, you got a rat problem in the attic. Their old music is selling like crazy.
Cha-ching.
It's something how a current commercial can bring life to a band like that, and people can see that and then go back and start buying their music. And they're noticing that, and their bank accounts are really, really digging that. Rapper Cardi B has apologized for hosting a Thanksgiving dinner with 37 people. But she still hasn't apologized for her music. I guess she did something you weren't supposed to do. You weren't supposed to have a lot of people over that you don't normally eat with for Thanksgiving this year because it's coronavirus and the positive numbers are rising. She's the woman who used to be, before she was a rapper, wasn't she a stripper?
Yes,
who
she was.
Who used to date and drug men and then rob them?
Yeah, well, she drugged them and set them up, but other guys came in and robbed them while they were drugged.
Okay, so she just drugged them.
She just drugged them. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know.
I guess people wanted that wet-ass pasta at a house.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Happy birthday, Billy Idol. Well, happy belated birthday. Yesterday, Billy Idol turned 65 years old. Billy Idol, 65. My God. You want to mess with somebody? Tell them 1980 was 40 years ago. Mind blown. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see that metallic monolith in the state of Utah that made news over the last few days? And this is in the middle of nowhere, too. All of a sudden, this tall piece of metal, a metallic monolith, was sticking out of the ground in the middle of nowhere in Utah. Some YouTubers drove out there and they video recorded it. They said it's in BLM country. No, not Black Lives Matter, but the Bureau of Land Management. That's what it's called out there, and they own that land, and you've got to really go out of your way. You've got to go off the road and go into the middle of nowhere in Utah. And this thing right out of a movie, this tall piece of metal is just standing out of the ground. There are rocks around it. And then it was there for a few days. And then just recently, it vanished. It's not there anymore. And
so they had no tracks or nothing like that where you can identify if somebody took it, and or whether they drove a Jeep or they lifted it up with a helicopter, it just vanished?
Yeah, from what I could tell, Coleman, it just vanished. They haven't figured out. I mean, I think obviously somebody is playing a trick on people because everybody, so many people want to be YouTube stars and want to have a video of theirs go viral. And somebody recorded this metallic monolith just sticking out of the ground in the middle of nowhere in Utah. And then people started coming from all over to see it, and then last night, or two nights ago, it disappeared. It vanished. And I brought that up because right around the same time that was making news, and they were saying that thing was right out of a movie. In Germany, police are probing the mystery of a missing giant phallus statue. A giant penis.
Penis.
Statue. Out of southern Germany, police there have opened an investigation into the disappearance of a large wooden sculpture.
Willie.
Of a phallus from a mountainside where it appeared without explanation several years ago. So a bunch of years ago, all of a sudden one day, people looked over there on the side of this mountain in southern Germany, and there was a giant wooden, basically it looked like a penis.
Junk.
So wait.
Statue. And now that thing has disappeared.
So the German police don't want to investigate how the giant wooden got there years ago, but they want to investigate where it went. Like, oh, where's the giant phallus at? It was here a couple of years ago. Now where'd it go?
Yeah, Coleman. It's almost
backwards.
It's almost 7 feet tall. That sculpture is almost 7 feet tall.
Man stuff.
It appeared to have been chopped down over this past weekend with just a sorry pile of sawdust left behind.
So somebody chopped off the phallus.
They chopped down the wooden penis statue.
Oh, that hurt.
So what's going on here in the United States, in Utah, suddenly one day in the middle of nowhere, this metallic monolith appears, and then people rush to that to get pictures and video and stuff, and then all of a sudden that vanishes. People trying to figure out how that happened and where that went. And now several years ago in Germany, a giant, nearly 7 foot tall wooden penis sculpture appeared on the side of a mountain. And all of a sudden this past weekend, that disappeared. Going on in southern Germany and in Utah in the United States. Damn it. Well, there's your latest monolith and large German wooden giant phallus statue news. Hey, coming up next on the show, we've got to salute our winner to this PAX weekend.
We don't have one because they delayed the game till Wednesday.
But
because they still have one game left and it never got played, so we don't have a winner, or do we?
But I think we're going to have to give an update on that.
Okay.
On our weekly King of the Bayou football challenge, whoever picked the most winners in the NFL games. And you know how the Saints played a game they shouldn't have played this past Sunday? I mean, if that ever happened to the Saints, where all of their quarterbacks couldn't play because of coronavirus and they had to take a wide receiver off the practice squad who never took an NFL snap at quarterback and play him. Well, one of the Denver quarterback's mothers is not happy with the heat her son has taken, and she lashed out on Twitter. We're going to tell you what she said next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund hanging with you. And usually at this time, on Tuesday mornings, a little after 8 o'clock, this is where we congratulate the winner of our weekly King of the Bayou football challenge. But we can't.
We used to.
We can't do that today, because there's still one more game that needs to be played. The Baltimore Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers game, which was supposed to be Thanksgiving night, but then it got postponed to Sunday because a bunch of Baltimore Ravens players tested positive for coronavirus. But then it got moved again, and now it's been moved one more time, and it'll kick off tomorrow afternoon at 2:40 our time here in New Orleans. The old Wednesday afternoon 2:40 kickoff for an NFL game. Boy, 2020 has been some year. Never seen this before. And it looks like Pittsburgh is going to win that game because Baltimore, their MVP quarterback, Lamar Jackson, can't play because he tested positive for coronavirus. And a bunch of other players as well. One of their running backs, former Saint running back Mark Ingram, tested positive. Another one of their running backs, J.K. Dobbins. And I guess their three lockers are right next to each other in the locker room. But they had around a dozen players, maybe even more now. I guess because coronavirus numbers in Baltimore, like in a lot of places in America, are people testing positive. The number is skyrocketing, according to authorities. And so now they're going to have to play tomorrow, but they're still going to have to use their backup quarterback. Do you remember Robert Griffin III, RG3? Remember RG3? He's still hanging around, and he's backing up Lamar Jackson in Baltimore with the Ravens, but he hasn't contracted coronavirus as of yet, and he is set to make his first start in a long time tomorrow against the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers, the last team in the NFL who's yet to lose a game. So we won't be able to pick the winner of our King of the Bayou Football Challenge until Thursday morning's show. And by the way, if you haven't gotten involved in this yet, there's still time. You can. Now, you won't be able to win the grand prize, the 65-inch smart television, the autographed Cam Jordan Saints jersey, and Winn-Dixie grocery certificates. But if you get in now, you could still win the $50 for Winn-Dixie groceries that we give out every week to whoever picks the most winners. And this is without a point spread. You just got to pick the winner over the loser. And we're doing that each week through the playoffs, not only the regular season, but through the playoffs. So if you get in now and it's free, it don't cost nothing. It only takes a few seconds to log on and register. You still have several chances each week to win $50 to go spend on groceries at Winn-Dixie, because this goes all the way through the playoffs. It goes through the big game at the end of the year. And so if you get in now, there are still lots of chances for you to win that $50 to go spend at Winn-Dixie each week. So just go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the King of the Bayou Football Challenge box. That's where I'm dressed as Elvis. And again, it's free. It only takes a few seconds. Just put your name in there and start picking for this Thursday night, because the next week starts two nights from now, Thursday night. So go do that, and you have a chance to win the $50 worth of groceries each week that we give out from Winn-Dixie. And did you see what one of the mothers of one of the Denver Broncos quarterbacks said after this past weekend's debacle, what they call the football game between the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints? That game should have never been played. Imagine if that happened to the Saints. Imagine if every quarterback on the Saints roster either tested positive for coronavirus or was in error of the coronavirus protocol that said that they could not play. And the Denver Broncos had no one who was ever taken a snap behind an NFL center. They had to pick someone just to go in there and get through the game this past Sunday, which the Saints very easily won 31-3. Of course they easily won. But imagine if that happened to the Saints and they said, well, Drew Brees can't play. Well, he couldn't play anyways because he's hurt. Taysom Hill can't play because he has COVID-19, coronavirus. And Jameis Winston can't play because he was close to Taysom Hill in one of the meetings, in one of the meeting rooms, and he didn't have a mask on. And so they all had the other ones who were healthy had to go into quarantine. That wouldn't have been fair to the Saints. And that's exactly what happened to the Denver Broncos. They took a wide receiver off of the practice squad to come in and play quarterback, and he only completed one pass during the whole game. As a matter of fact, he completed more passes to the New Orleans Saints than he did to his own team, the Denver Broncos. He ended up throwing two interceptions. He had one complete pass. It was sad to even have to watch that. That would be like just taking some stranger who's in shape off the street and saying, hey, come in here for a day. I'll learn a couple of these plays and then try to execute them on Sunday.
Denver had the option to forfeit, though, if they felt like they couldn't win. You know, they felt like they couldn't play the game. They could have forfeited and said, yeah, look, we're out.
They could have done that, but they said, no, let's go get someone who has never taken an NFL snap behind a center before and put him in there just so we can try to get through this game. And that's what they did. But if that happened to the Saints, and you're a Saints fan, you'd be complaining because that shouldn't have happened. That wasn't even a game on Sunday. But did you hear their starting quarterback is a guy named Drew Lock. Now, Drew Lock wasn't the one that got coronavirus. One of his backups did. But I guess they were all in the same quarterback room together watching video. And they were doing extra work. But then it was found out that one of his backups in that room had coronavirus. And because he and the other two quarterbacks on that roster were all in that same room, the quarterback room, watching video, nobody was wearing a mask, yet one of them had coronavirus. All of them had to go into quarantine. That's the protocol that the NFL has, and none of them could play. That's why Denver didn't have a quarterback. Well, and by the way, Drew Lock, he's getting better every week. He's a young quarterback, and he looks like he's the guy in Denver. They haven't had a quarterback the last few years. It looks like they finally have one. Well, his mother, Laura Lock, not happy about the crap that her son and the rest of the quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos are taking. Because people were saying, how could you break the NFL protocol? How could you be so stupid by getting so close to your teammate who had coronavirus and you didn't have a mask on? And a bunch of people are giving him a lot of crap. Even the head coach of the Denver Broncos, Vic Fangio, said, yeah, our quarterbacks, one of them got coronavirus. The other guys were close to them. They didn't have masks on, and, they weren't really responsible, and that's why we're in this situation. I'm paraphrasing. Well, Denver's starting quarterback, Drew Lock, his mother took to Twitter, and this is what she tweeted. Shame, shame, shame on the many for thinking they can speak of others in damning ways. Here is the truth. Drew and the quarterback room requested permission to watch film. They came to the facility on their own time to put in more work. His leadership, which seems to be in question by some, brought them into this predicament. Drew asking for more commitment of his quarterback room than just a normal NFL day. Drew and the quarterbacks even requesting a room at the facility rather than risking trouble and meeting at an off-campus site. So here's his mother telling everybody who's giving him crap, hey, shame, shame on you. I wonder how he feels about that.
I wouldn't like it.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're in the NFL. You're a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's 23 years old now. Really, Mom?
Yeah, I wouldn't want my mom getting all my business like that. Chill out, Mom. I got this. I'm a grown-ass man.
And so, and then she went on to say that Drew was not the one who had coronavirus. And then she just went off. She continued to go off on Twitter. Oh, and by the way, he does not have COVID. He wasn't the one with COVID. And as I pray nightly, I hope he doesn't nor anyone else get COVID. Let's interrogate those in the NFL that do have COVID. How safe were they being? Who was in their ecosystem that shouldn't have been?
Oh, she's doing too much. Nah, calm down, Mom.
Or were they just not wearing their masks all the time? As a parent, an educator, a friend, a coworker, a boss, and then she goes on to
yeah, she needs to chill out.
This tweet went on forever.
She needs to chill out for a second.
Let me ask you something right now, if you're listening. If that was your mother who did that, are you like me and Coleman? Are you like, no, Mom, what are you doing? Please stop. I'm a 23-year-old starting quarterback in the NFL. Sure, something happened. Maybe it was partially my fault, but not fully my fault. And none of us quarterbacks could play on Sunday against the Saints. And we got killed. But Mom, the last thing I need is you going public on Twitter defending me. If you're listening right now, would you be a little bit frustrated with your mother? Would you say, Mom, I'm an adult now. I can handle this without you having my back? That's how I would feel. Text us at 260-9595. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please do not text while you're driving. Or do you think, hey, that's what moms do. She's looking out for her kid. How do you feel about that? Text us and let us know. I would not be thrilled if my mother did that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, who didn't play last week, no quarterback played for the Denver Broncos last week in their blowout loss to the Saints. Drew Locke is his name. He's young, and he's getting better every week. But he didn't play because none of the quarterbacks of the Denver Broncos played last week because one of their backups got coronavirus, and then Drew Locke, along with two other backups, were in a room with him, and they weren't wearing masks. And because of NFL coronavirus protocol, they all couldn't play this past weekend. And that joke of a game, which shouldn't have been played, that wouldn't have been fair if it happened to the Saints. I know you think that. Well, the mother of 23-year-old Denver Broncos starting quarterback Drew Locke just got involved by tweeting, shame, shame, on all of you who are judging my son. My son was doing extra work. He wasn't the one that had COVID. I'm an educator and blah, 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 blah. She went off on Twitter, and I'm thinking to myself, look, it's nice that you have your son's back, but he's a starting quarterback in the NFL now. If that was me, I'd be like, Mom, shut up. What are you doing? What are you going public with this for? I mean, do you agree with me or do you disagree? I asked you to text.
This text says, it wouldn't be optimal, but at the same time, I will go hard behind my child any day, anytime. This one says, as a mother of a 6-year-old little boy, I support her. As a mother, it's our instinct to protect our children. I support her 100% and her mama bear instincts. This one says, she sounds like a mother that believes in participation trophies.
Okay.
This one says, my daughters get frustrated when Mama Bear comes out of her den, but I'm fighting for them. But they know Mama Bear is going to be Mama Bear.
Look, and I'm all for Mama Bears, but what about embarrassing the hell out of your starting NFL quarterback for the Denver Broncos? I mean, you're coming to his rescue? Does he need it?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Ocelyn. After the hell your mama went through bearing and raising you, you can at least accept her advocacy.
No, well, look, Texter, like I just said, I'm all for mama bears, but I wouldn't want my mother going public, going national, going international, protecting me if I'm the starting quarterback of an NFL team.
Bobby said he would be embarrassed.
Bobby!
And the last one says, never rob the joy your mom has defending you.
We appreciate the texts. Thank you very much. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with a hunter and a deer. And wait till you hear who won this match. That's next on the dumbest thing I read all morning. And how it happened. Ridiculous. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Deer steals hunter's gun, flees into woods. A hunter in the Czech Republic was charged by a deer that snagged the man's gun on its antlers and fled into the woods with the weapon. A hunter contacted authorities to recount the story of how he lost his gun while hunting near the village of Hornai Plana. I don't know much about hunters in the Czech Republic, but I do know that if I were out deer hunting and a deer charged me and grabbed my gun with his antlers while knocking me over, and then he took the gun into the woods with him between his antlers, the last thing in the world I would do would be to call the police or call authorities to say that, yeah, I was out hunting deer, but the deer, he got me and he stole my gun and ran into the woods.
But here's what happens. Let's say, I'm assuming that the gun is stuck on the antlers near the trigger. So let's say this deer was walking around the woods and it swings its head a certain way and it accidentally pulls the trigger and then it shoots somebody. And then the cops aren't going to believe your story, so you have to kind of report that a deer stole your gun, because if the deer accidentally shoots somebody in the woods, they're going to put it on you because that was your registered gun.
You know, Coleman, it's one thing for a deer to charge at a deer hunter and to put his head down, get the gun away from the deer, knock the hunter down, and then run into the woods with the gun between its antlers. It would be a completely different story if the deer then turned his head and the gun went off and the deer shot somebody.
Stranger things have happened.
You know, I've heard of man bites dog before, but deer shoots deer hunter? Boy, that would be that would be something. And evidently the authorities there in the Czech Republic, they went into the woods there and they were looking to see if they could find the gun or the deer, or maybe the deer still had the gun in between its antlers.
It's safe to assume that a deer with a gun in its antlers is automatically the alpha male of his pack right now. Like, how could he lose a conquest up there? You have regular antlers. I have shotgun antlers. Dude, he's the alpha male of the whole tribe. He's getting all the fauna.
The hunter said, told authorities, one of his hunting dogs in his group startled the deer in a wooded area, causing the panicked deer to run directly toward him. The deer's antlers ripped the man's sleeve and ended up snagged on his .22 Hornet rifle, which had been slung over his left hand at the time. The animal ran off into the woods with the hunter's unloaded gun still attached to its antlers.
How effective is it to hunt with an unloaded gun?
I guess he was with his dogs. They saw the deer. I guess he was going to be loading the gun very shortly, but one of his hunting dogs startled the stag, and the stag ran towards him.
All right.
So the good news is, see, the guy shouldn't have called the cops, because if the gun was unloaded, there's no way the deer could shoot somebody unless the deer was really smart and the deer actually knew how to load the gun. But then he'd have to go find ammunition.
Well, you know what they say. In the Czech Republic, the deer hunts you.
Police there said another hunter reported spotting a deer with a rifle dangling from its antlers more than a half a mile from the scene of where it happened. Can you imagine, you're somebody else and there's a deer running. You're a deer hunter and wait a minute, that deer's got the gun.
Oh dear. Oh dear God. Let's run.
Jesus too. Well, the deer who stole the hunter's gun and fleed into the woods. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
By the way, I've got that story on our website if you want to check it out. Strange hunting in the Czech Republic. But that story is on our website at Bayou957.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.